Mythology still speaks to us today. The story of the phoenix bird rising up to new life from its own ashes. A story that goes back to the time of the early Egyptians. The story of a god in the form of a bird that came back to life after destruction by fire. It rose up out of its own ashes and began life anew. That is why this phoenix bird has for thousands of years been a sign of immortality and indestructibility, and therefore for us a symbol of resurrection. And today we use the phoenix bird to symbolize the new hopes that arise out of disaster for anyone, but in particular those disciples on the way to Emmaus, whose entire life had fallen apart. For all they remembered was that when Jesus died on the cross, they thought it was all over, and their hopes fell into ashes. They were crushed with disappointment. Their Messiah, their friend, had been put to death, and now they were very slow to believe that Jesus, the Holy One, the Just One, had been raised from the dead. But now as they walk down their way, he is meeting with them again, convinced them that he, the author of life, was indeed alive. His death had been very real for them, and now after their eating bread with them, the Eucharist, now his risen life was real for them also, for he had opened up their eyes to the mystery. Just like those disciples, we people today know only too well about ashes in our own lives. We know the ashes of grief and loss. We all have tasted the ashes of separation and pain. And we all learn, sooner or later, that like all of the other members of the human race, we are not exempt from the sufferings of life. Sometimes we are even tempted to take as our own personal philosophy the decision to dread one day at a time instead of to live one day at a time. But fortunately, the words of today's gospel give us an antidote to this dread when we hear the words of Jesus' greeting to us, "Peace be with you." He enters into the circles of his disciples, and he tries, first of all, to convince them that he is real, not a ghost. He shows them his hands and feet with the marks of the crucifixion. The disciples saw Jesus in person, but today, here, as we gather for the breaking of the bread, we people must depend upon the gift of our Easter faith to experience his risen presence here with us right now. And today Jesus does reassure us of the many ways that he is near to us now. He walked with his disciples on the way to Emmaus. He made himself known there in the breaking of the bread. That's when their eyes were opened to the mystery. Today he is with us in the same way, in this Eucharist, in our breaking of the bread. He is present with us in mystery, in all other people in whom he lives in spirit. He is present now in his living word, in our work, in our lives, and He is as close to us now as he was to those disciples walking, eating with them at Emmaus. We people today need to deepen our faith in this living presence of the risen Jesus in our heart and life. The only obstacle to that presence is our sin. But we just heard in Scripture that Jesus overcame this barrier by becoming himself an offering for our sin. Now, after Jesus had eaten the disciples' food, it was then that he continued to speak with them, and he opened their eyes of faith so they could understand the Scriptures as a key that would give new meaning and new hope to their lives. Today, we too turn to the Scriptures, because our gospel, the good news, is always a guide to showing us the way to Jesus and giving us meaning to our lives. This word, this opening up of Scripture, leads us to discover in ourselves all those many places where our God continues to touch the events of our life week in and week out. God reveals to us in a personal way our own life story. That's how he also opens up our mind, so that our personal autobiography is like Scripture. As we see how God has been working in our lives over all the past years, we discover that God is active in our life. Our autobiography is our journey, our lifetime pilgrimage in faith. It is our Passover. And looking back over the years, we discover how God touched our lives again and again, and gave new direction to them. And that's why the story of Emmaus and the gospel is repeated today, right here and now. The risen Jesus stands now in our midst to open up our minds, to understand, first of all, the meaning of the suffering and the dying and the rising of Jesus. But then, he opens up the book of our life, and he shows us how we people must die to self day in and day out, and at the same time rise above that dying to new life and triumph. He demonstrated to the people at Emmaus how his bright glory of resurrection came from the dark ashes of his crucifixion. And he tells the Emmaus people and tells us, as the poet William Blake did in his writing, joy and woe are woven fine in life, becoming a cloth for the soul divine, so that under every grief and pine there runs a joy with silken twine. And this grief and pine of our daily living are the dying that we undergo each day, our little Passover deaths to the past as we rise to new life and hope. But all of those pains and sufferings through Jesus, in whom we live and move and have our being, all of those trials become positive, life-giving events, because they are one in our life in the risen Lord. Our union with the risen Lord transforms all of our work and suffering into redemptive value. Nothing is lost, everything is gained. In his strength, our dread turns into acceptance. And where we suffer in triumph, Those are the events of our sharing in Jesus' death and resurrection. Our Passover in our life continually reflects the Passover of Jesus Christ, for we are one now with him in this day in which we live. Sometimes it takes people a long time to understand better the meaning of his words, the way it did for the people at Emmaus. Sometimes it takes us people a lifetime, or almost a lifetime, of prolonged disappointments. It's a lesson that so-called intellectuals can articulate awkwardly, but only we inarticulate, unfortunate people are really able to understand the lesson that Jesus teaches today, because we people, we broken people, have translated his ideas into flesh and blood in our own life. We people have discovered in our life a new kind of strength that allows us to admit to ourselves our own weaknesses and admit them sometimes even to others, but then above all, to learn to live with our weaknesses of being human, recognizing all the time the Lord's promises. He says, my strength is always made complete in your human weaknesses. This road to wholeness is a continual growing in the acceptance of how ordinary we people are. We learn to live our ordinary life gladly, accepting our weakness and failures just as much as we accept our strength and triumph, remembering the Lord is always close to the brokenhearted, and the Lord hears the cry of the poor. The paradox from Scripture that our God has always chosen those people whom the world considers absurd to shame the people who think they are wise. The Lord singles out the weak people of this world to shame the strong people who rely upon themselves. The Lord will always choose the lowly and the despised, those who feel they count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who were something, so that humankind cannot boast before God. For it is God who has given us new life in Christ Jesus. This is what it means now in Easter time, to live in the power of resurrection faith, the great gift each of us has been given. Resurrection power does not take away our pain or our difficulties, but resurrection power will always transform them, always giving the difficulties of our life redemptive value. Resurrection power transforms our suffering into the highest form of prayer. It becomes the sacrament of suffering, nailing us to the cross, making us one with the crucified one, whereby we are intimately united with our God, who suffers with us, who suffers in us, now, in the 20th century. This is the experience of Easter time, when we find new hope continually rising to new life above any of our losses in whatever form. An ancient promise given to us in the words of Isaiah, but today they are our heritage. Isaiah said, and Jesus repeats, the Lord promises to strengthen and comfort all those people who mourn, to give them a garland of flowers instead of ashes. Flowers of springtime instead of the ashes of death. Give us the oil of gladness instead of mourning. and give us a mantle of strength instead of a faint spirit.